Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Truth and Justice. Right up front, I want to tell you guys, if you listen to follow-up, you know this. It's been a pretty crazy week here this week, and was actually considering or planning on taking this week off and not doing an episode. As you know, we're still prepping for the new season. I had a bunch of stuff going on with my family this week, and still do, and it's been pretty crazy. Somebody in the chat of our follow-up asked if, instead of taking the week off, if we do an ask me anything, where people can ask anything they want about a case, about life. Seems like so far most questions are just about just life in general, which is fine. So for our patrons, we are streaming this live right now, so we've got a bunch of people in the chat throwing questions at me. Some people already made some comments. Janet may be joining us. She had planned on it, but she had another previous appointment prior to this. She wasn't sure if she was going to make it here in time, so hopefully she'll be coming in sometime soon. So with that being said, if you are just absolutely not interested in a bunch of just life stuff that doesn't have to do with any cases or any interviews, feel free to take this week off. This is not anything that we need anybody to listen to. I don't like going a week without staying connected to you all. And all of you listeners are an important part of my life too. So when that suggestion came up, I thought it was a great idea, and I'm excited to do it. So, but please, if you feel like you're not interested in this, don't feel like you're missing anything important. If you want to just skip out on this episode, because essentially this was a week off that were turned into a kind of a bonus episode. We haven't done one of these live ask me anything type things in years. Actually, we used to do them every once in a while during like season one and season two. We had, you know, listener call-in shows and things like that, and now we have all this cool video technology. And just fill you guys in so you guys know what I've got going on. So we'll start with that. I talked a little bit about stuff in the follow-up, but it's been so last Friday my son Quentin came home from college. He has an issue with a wheel on his car. So he had he was out of commission on a car. So I'm having to drive him around. He's starting work. My daughter dropped her phone in a porta toilet and then peed on it. And so then we were dealing with trying to find a phone for her. And on top of that, just normal work stuff just happened to be this week. Actually tonight in 2 hours and 14 minutes, I am actually competing in a comedy contest that Zach convinced me to check out. So I'm going to be doing that tonight. My daughter has had softball all week, and she's got a tournament 3 hours north of here on Saturday. So it's just been a crazy week. The times when I normally am able to set aside in the evenings and the weekends to get all caught up on this stuff, are just kind of slipping away. We also have some stuff going on with some other cases that I've been dealing with. I've been dealing with our new case, just to update you guys who listened on Friday. I'd mentioned that I had been emailing with the prosecutor and the police chief. Police chief has yet to, for our new case, for our season 15 case, police chief has yet to return any of my, return my email. So I haven't heard anything from him. The prosecutor did last we spoke, which was Tuesday when we recorded that, hadn't responded to my second email, responded once. I did get a response from them where he said that he is going to be coordinating with the FOIA person to make sure that I get everything that I need. I did follow up and again asked the big thing that we're looking for that I don't have in this case is I don't have the trial exhibits. I have the trial transcripts, I have some of the police file, but I don't have any of the exhibits. And nobody seems to know where the trial exhibits are. I very directly asked that question. You guys don't have the trial exhibits. Where are they? Who do I FOIA? Haven't heard back from that. But again, that's not stopping us from moving forward. There's so much, plenty of stuff in that case to move forward. I just am hoping to get the full picture of it. So I'm going to start off. Some folks sent in questions before we even started this live stream. So I want to go through that. Some of them are for Janet. So we'll save those for when she gets here. People are very interested in her skincare routine. Then we got Grayson says it's his birthday month. Happy birthday, Grayson. If you guys don't remember, Grayson was the gentleman lives in Baltimore that came on the show to help us figure out during the reply brief series, all the locations and drive times, and knew some of the players involved in Adnan's case. So that's Grayson. He says that he's going to be turning 45. It's his birthday month. His birthday is the 20th. And he's trying to think of something fun to do for his birthday? Any suggestions? So far, he's thinking about a baseball game or paintballing with some friends. I mean, both of those sound great. Well, paintball doesn't sound great to me. I used to love playing paintball, but I'm old now, and I'm pretty sure I'll break a hip if I do that. So anybody, I know Grayson's in the chat. Anybody got any great ideas? First of all, happy birthday, Grayson. Anybody's got any great ideas? I would tell you what I would be doing right now is I'd be out in the woods hiking, looking for mushrooms, but I don't know if the morel mushrooms grow in your area in Baltimore, but I bet, I mean, I've been out there and the way it looks, the whole, Leakin Park area looks like a really good spot to go find some morel mushrooms. And that's something to do in the springtime. Okay. And moving on, so Sonia wanted to know, she'd love to hear about how we all met our spouses. Let me real quick, Jana did just send me a text. Let me see what she said. Oh, apparently I missed a text from her earlier. So Janet will not be joining us. She her whole thing got pushed back an hour, so it doesn't sound like she's going to be able to make it. So I guess we'll save those because I really don't know. I don't know how Janet met. I know Zach and Michelle have been together for a long time since they were very young. I do know that their first date was to a strip club. Zach has told that story. I've heard him tell it on stage a few times. Becky and I actually met when I was still a firefighter. So when I was a fireman, we worked 24-hour shifts and we worked... So we only work 9 days a month. You'd work a day, off a day, work a day, off a day, work a day, and then be off 4 days. And so on my days off, I used to substitute at a school for emotionally impaired children. And Becky was a paraprofessional there. So we had known each other before we started dating. We knew each other for 7 years. We had worked together and we just got to be really good friends. So Becky, like when they say that you should marry your best friend, most of you know that I've had a little bit of a checkered past with marriages prior to that. And then, you know, Becky and I had, we had been really, really good friends for a long time. We were both going through some stuff and we started dating, gosh, now it's over 13 years ago. And we got married 2 years later and been happier than I've ever been. She's my best friend, my partner in all the nonsense that we do. But that's where we met. We met at work, actually. Moving on. So, oh, this is an interesting question. Francis, says we live in the country and have trouble with trespassers. Either they're illegally hunting deer or they're trying to fish in the small lake we live on. Do you have this problem? Do you have any tips for dealing with them? If we catch them, we politely ask them to leave, but this does not always go well. And I'm concerned things might escalate. And they also want to know, my favorite keto recipes and hacks. As far as the trespassing thing, I would not deal with it yourself. I've had similar situations in properties that I own and properties that I do stuff on. And in my experience, if you just ask them politely and you or even tell them to leave, they just keep coming right back. I would call your local, in the Michigan, it's called the DNR, Department of Natural Resources. Some places it's called Fish and Game. I don't know what state you live in. But I would contact them. And another thing is if you invest in a cellular or a couple cellular trail cameras, so these are, they're made for like hunters to be able to scout so they can, you know, get an idea of what kind of animals are moving around where they live or on their property. But they used to be pretty expensive. They're not so much anymore. There's a company, there's a brand called SpyPoint and they cost like, I don't know, maybe like $150. But you can set those up and it'll actually send you when somebody walks onto your property or walks past it will actually send you the picture in real time so you can make sure that you catch them in the act. But I wouldn't deal with it yourself. I would call Fish and Game or DNR, whoever you have. As far as keto recipes and hacks, I don't really have any. I don't really eat keto. I don't eat keto. I eat a very high protein diet. I don't avoid carbs. For those of you that don't know, I've lost 76 pounds in the last year and a half or so. I count macros. And so I eat real high protein and I keep track of the amount of grams of fat and grams of carbs that I have per day. For me, I have like 240 grams of protein a day and 100 each of fat and calories. Or excuse me, fat and carbohydrates. And and listen, I'm not a doctor. Don't listen to me. But we use an app, Becky and I, and actually Zach's wife, Michelle, and Zach did it even when he was in some weight loss contest with us. We use an app called First Form. Costs, I think, like $12 a month, but it's an app that helps you track that stuff. And it's worked really well for us. I've tried keto and Atkins and stuff before, and I've just never done well with completely restricting carbs out of my diet. It just makes me crave them more. And so by doing kind of the macros, you still get to have your have a little bit of everything, but you track it and keep it in moderation. Simone wants to know, when are y'all coming south to the East Coast? When am I going south? I was just in the south. I was just in the East Coast south. I was at Hilton Head Island for spring break. Maybe I was right next to you, Simone. She wants to know, what's my thoughts on gentle parenting? She has a 2-year-old and I try super hard to be the mommy whisperer, but on 24/7 suicide watch, I eventually get loud at times, and sometimes I'm going to need to be hands-on. P.S. Janet, do you see kids in your future? And Janet's not able to join, but we'll pass that along. Maybe we'll answer that on Friday. I don't know. This is what I always say. So, and again, most of you, I think, know this, but I have 4 kids. I have a 23-year-old stepson. I've got a 19-year-old son, an 18-year-old stepdaughter, and a 13-year-old son. Everybody thinks that they know, like, the best way to parent. I've learned over the years that I don't know. There's no handbook, right? So, for example, like 2-year-olds easy, Simone. You think having a 2-year-old's tough? Wait until they're 16, and those problems get way bigger than they are when they're two. And my approach, and I don't know if it's good parenting or bad parenting, but I've always had a really open, honest relationship with my kids. You know, as far as like teenagers doing teenager things, rather than pretend they're not and tell them, you know, for example, drinking, you know, going to a party and drinking, instead of just, you know, striking the fear of God into them, which is kind of, you know, what my parents did with me. Instead, I tend to, I know that no matter what, because they're going to do what I did, they're going to do it anyway. So instead, I try to have a very open relationship with them. I let them know what my expectations are, but also let them know that if they're ever in a bind, they can call me. So I feel very confident that if one of my kids was at a party and got too drunk and needed a ride at 3 a.m, that they would call me without fear to come get them before they got themselves into a bad situation. And I know for some people that is, that's terrible parenting, that you should tell them just not to do it. But that's kind of the way I do things. And I've been kind of hands off even when they were little. I was always, you know, keep them safe, but I've always been under the mindset that, you know, making mistakes and suffering consequences from them is a good learning experience for kids. And I've got, you know, my 3 now adult kids, technically adult kids, are all very well-rounded, healthy kids. So at least for me, it seems to work. A Trader says, I recently listened to the Sandy Melgar season. I'm wondering what's the latest on her case. As far as I know, there's nothing really new going on her case. We know Kathleen Zellner had it for a little while, and then the Innocence Project of Texas has now picked it up. I've had some conference calls with them about the case to help get them read in, and I know they're talking to some experts, but I don't really know where they're at with that case at this point. I know there was some DNA testing that's going to be done, but as soon as we do have any updates from that, I will be sure to let you know. All right, and so now we'll jump into the live chat. Kathy wants to know if I ever got a phone for Bella. I did. So yesterday I did solve a whole lot of problems yesterday. I had to skip the gym, cause I had too much going on in the morning. And I was able to go to a junkyard. So Quentin's tire wheel that was being fixed ended up being unrepairable. I had to go find one at a junkyard. So I went and actually they had 2 of them. So I bought 2. And took those to the tire shop, and I ended up going to Verizon and had a very helpful young man that we ended up upgrading Becky's phone so Bella could take over Becky's phone, which is really what they all wanted to begin with. So everybody was happy except for me, because we had to buy a $1,000 phone and I didn't want to do that. But the guy at Verizon actually was able to, by the way, if you have an old Verizon plan, they have new plans that are way cheaper. So with their little monthly payment deal, it ended up being cheaper to upgrade the phone and change the plans to the new plans. Josh wants to know if I've got a turkey yet. No, I have not. So this springtime is turkey hunting season, which I do enjoy. But so my thing is anything that I hunt or fish, I do it because that's our food and I like to eat. And here's my problem, Josh, with turkeys, with turkey season. Turkey season is at the same time as morel mushroom season, which I mentioned earlier. And I would much rather eat a morel mushroom than a wild turkey. So it's actually been a couple of years since I've even tried turkey hunting because I just don't have much time lately. Last couple of years, I'm just so busy going in circles that I don't have a lot of time. So if I can get out in the woods right now, I'd rather take my little mesh bag and go out and hunt for morels. And so what I did do was I did get 7 pounds of morel mushrooms on Saturday. So that's what I've harvested this year. All right, moving on. Jamie says, will you share some of your comedy material with us? Well, first of all, Jamie, I don't know if you're new to Patreon, but if you scroll back, I don't know where it will be, but I actually posted when Zach and I did at Obsessed Fest in Dallas a couple months ago, back in October. We did a full comedy show where Zach did like a 15-minute open, and then I did a full like 45-minute show. That video is on Patreon somewhere, and maybe I'll make a new post with it for anybody that missed it so you can watch it again. So you can get the whole deal there. But if I have a few minutes here before we're done, I'll talk a little bit about what I'm doing tonight. Because my thing tonight is this contest is not really in my lane. So as you guys know, you've just heard me ramble about nonsense already for 16 minutes. I'm long-winded and I tell long stories in these contests. It's like you have a 7-minute set, so it's tough for me to like condense things down to 7 minutes. But I think I got a winner tonight. But we'll see. I'll let you know. Yeah, if we have some time at the end here, I'll talk about that. All righty. Gosh, I really wish Janet was here. It's so weird for me just sitting here talking to myself. Heather says, did Colin ever tell what the bombshell is? If he did, I missed it. I need to be filled in. If he didn't, do you have any guesses? So Colin did not share what the bombshell is. I had been made aware of what the bombshell is and had been sworn to secrecy a while ago. So it has not been made public. You didn't miss anything. We talked a little bit about this on the follow-up. You'll hear it tomorrow when that drops for those of you that are watching this live. It's pretty incredible. And I think Robbie is going to beat it out of him when Undisclosed reboots. But part of it is because like this is stuff that's going to be used in court in the case. So they're keeping it close to the chest or close to the vest. Cece says, have you talked to Ducky lately? As a matter of fact, Cece. So he's talking about John Cryer. Who, those of you guys know John, John from 2 and a Half Men, Ducky from Pretty in Pink. Also, the producer of my Forgotten West Memphis 3 docuseries. That was part of my busyness, has been talking to John quite a bit this week. And as a matter of fact, 20 minutes before I was on this live stream, I was talking to Ducky. I was on a conference call with Ducky. So I don't know, you guys can do with that what you want, but there are conversations happening with me and Ducky and the gang. So we'll see where that goes. All right. Now let me try to catch up on this chat. So Peachy wants to know, what other podcasts do I listen to besides the criminal ones? The thing is, Peachy, I don't listen to, I really don't listen to true crime podcasts. If I do, like if I come on the show and have somebody on, like when we had like Alex from Murder 101 come on, or, you know, Robbie and Colin, it's because like I checked a podcast out, Fred the Head, that I was genuinely hooked on, and I like binged through it. But usually, so my podcast time is, so every morning, early in the morning, I go to the gym, and that's when I get to, you know, time to myself where I can actually listen to something. And it is certainly usually not true crime podcast stuff unless it is unless there's something happening. Like I'll tune in to Bob Mata's podcast to get updates on Delphi. If everybody's like, hey, you need to listen to this certain podcast, I might check it out. But so generally on my docket are Jimmy Pardo's Never Not Funny podcast. Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. I listen to Smartless. So you kind of get the vibe that I like. Is most of what I listen to are talk show types, mostly in like the comedy vein. Like that's kind of my, it's kind of, the, so podcast time is kind of like my escape from like all the serious work that we're doing that happens on the other side of that door where my office is and where we do all the investigations. So I don't really listen to true crime podcasts, but that's it. So Never Not Funny, Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, Smartless. I'd like to catch episodes of the JV Club when I get a shot or when I get a chance to do that. So that's Janet's other podcast, which is another talk show podcast that she does. It's freaking amazing. And that's pretty much what I listen to. This is perhaps a little bit embarrassing, maybe not, but I also tend to listen to YouTube videos where people are talking about crypto because I'm just one of those guys that invests in crypto. And it would be interesting to anyone who doesn't. Tiffany, why pheasants, Bob? I thought you got rid of the birds. Okay, so yeah, if you guys listen to the, you guys are all in, the ones in here are all patrons, but everybody listening to this isn't. So we talked about in the pregame this week. I used to raise quail, and that was like a business. It was like a side business, and I sold the business because I just couldn't keep up with everything I was doing. I used to sell hatching eggs. So I did get rid of everything. The pheasants were not for me to like raise and keep or make any money off of. What I was doing with the pheasants, and I do this every year, is I either hatch out or this year I actually bought chicks. So I bought this year 200 pheasant chicks. And then I raise them up until they're old enough to survive, and then I release them. And that's so, and that's just kind of my conservation. I don't hunt pheasant or anything out here where I live, but I've got a great, where I live is a great habitat for them. And, you know, we actually still have tree lines and we have hay fields and places for them to get some cover. And it's just when I was a kid, pheasants were rare around here. You'd see them every once in a while. And I just think they're really cool animals to have on the landscape. Back in the 60s and 50s, there were tons and tons of pheasant around here, but they all got wiped out when they sprayed DDT. So that's all I'm doing is I'm trying to, at least in my little neck of the woods, repopulate pheasants in the area just because I like having them around. Kathy wants to know, have I seen John Cryer's new show? I forget the name, but he was great in it. I have. And now I'm, was it called Extended Family? I think. Something like that. But I did. I have seen it, and it's really funny. It's like John back in like a sitcom, and I'm as you guys know, anybody that knows anything about me, I'm pretty terrible with actors' names. But one of his co-stars was one of the guys, lead characters from Scrubs, which I love that show too. So yeah, it's really good. Worth checking it out. Amy wants to know if I knew about Avatar: The Last Airbender and Avatar Korra before Janet joined the team. I did. I mean, I knew of, like, I took my Quentin when he was little. I remember taking him to see The Last Airbender movie. But I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know Janet was involved with it. I didn't know anything like that. So Janet and I got to be friends. She was a listener of the show and had written in, and I believe she had asked me to come on her show. I have been on the JV Club, and we got to chatting, and then she was working on a project. There was a true crime case that's actually she's personally connected to, and she was kind of consulting with me about that a little bit, and we just got to be. You ever just, you know, how you just meet people sometimes and you just become fast friends, and that was. You know, that was Janet and I when we met and started talking a little bit. We just really hit it off. We clicked really well. And just over the years, we just became really good friends. And then I found out how my wife, now Becky does know as soon as, not because of Korra or Last Airbender or Avatar, any of that stuff. But Becky watched You're the Worst is a show that Janet is on. And I always get the name of it wrong. I was And I've joked about what this show was so many times, but the show where, because I always say it's Shaun of the Dead, and that's certainly not what it was. But there's another show where Janet plays, she's like the lead in it, and she plays like a sheriff in this town. So Becky knew her from that, so she was thrilled. Christy wants to know, is there any new movement with Jennifer Jeffley? I was reminded of that case when hearing about Janet's ordeal with the window in the flower pot. I thought about that too. No, I haven't. I don't know any what's going on with that case. If you guys remember back, in that one, it was really frustrating for me because we were working on the case. We actually had access to, you know, I kind of had the Innocence Project of Texas on board, that was open to taking the case. But then an attorney from the New England area, I think from New York, jumped in and took over. So he was handling the case and I don't know, I guess we just kind of didn't see eye to eye about where things were going with it. I don't have any communication with them about that case. I hope they're doing something with it, because Jennifer Jeffley certainly does not deserve to be in prison. All right. Now, Jen says, did I find a Michigan lawyer to assist with the struggles on the new case? I haven't yet. So if anybody listening to this is an attorney in Michigan, I would like some help with it, even just to rattle the cages regarding this FOIA request. And I'm dead serious about, if we can't get the documents that we're looking for, I would like to file a lawsuit on that to actually push it to the court. I want if they're saying they don't exist, if they really don't, first of all, that's going to be they're going to have a real struggle. They're going to, because as I mentioned on Friday, I'm pretty convinced this conviction ends up getting overturned, and it'll need to be relitigated one way or another after that. And if they don't have any of the evidence and any of the trial exhibits, then that's going to be a big problem for them. But you know, for my case, like I want to, but if the evidence gone is gone, but at this point, you know, I would like to have a judge do like an in-camera review, and verify that this stuff doesn't exist, because they are required by law to turn it over if it does. So any Michigan attorneys, we could definitely use that help. All right. Everybody catch up for a while. Oh, somebody, Alexa, says that she is a Connecticut and Massachusetts native. Now let me know if you need any recommendations for the most scenic routes to take from the airport to North Adams. She's talking about the Berkshire Podcast Festival. Well, the thing is, I think the route is going to be whatever the Uber driver takes us, because we're not taking a car. Our plan is to, and I'm hoping, I didn't even think about this, so you said that I'm hoping that there's a good network of Uber drivers there, because it's kind of in the country a little bit, because I wasn't planning on renting a car. All right. Oh, and Amy popped in, and I'm assuming that she is referring to the question earlier about if I would share some of my comedy routine. She said, go to a comedy show. Right. Although I understand that a lot of you guys aren't in this part of the country right now to go to a show. So you can't do that. But if you can, come on out. Owen Grayson said that he might go in the woods and take some pictures. I'm behind in the chat right now, but people are asking, referring to their previous conversation. Colin wanted to know if I was talking about the magic kind of mushroom. Well, Colin, in my opinion, the morel mushroom is magic. For any of you guys, let me know in the chat if you guys have ever had a morel mushroom, because a lot of people don't know what I'm talking about, but they are a delicious wild mushroom that only grows for a couple weeks a year. And from my understanding, like no one's ever been able to cultivate them. So you literally have to go out in the woods and hunt them. And so then if you find them in the store, they're like $50 a pound, because you know, they're the only way to get them is to go out and find them and hunt for them. But they're like little honeycombs. I like to call them little butter pockets. Cause you put a little bit of, you dust them with just a little bit of rice flour, put a little bit of garlic, salt, and pepper on them, and then I just fry them real gently in butter until they get really crispy on the outside. They're delicious. Kathy said she used to work in a facility for emotionally impaired children too. Yeah, I loved working there. it was just nice to be able to, you know, you're at the particular place we were at, it didn't, you know, there wasn't so much of a heavy focus on the academics because of the impairments that some of these kids had. So you really got to, you know, the win there was really like connecting with the kids and letting them know that somebody cared about them and cared about their success in their life. So it was really, really fulfilling. And Amy said that her husband was married before too, so she's the trophy wife, and Becky can be one too. Becky certainly is my trophy wife. And Amy says that just means that you guys are the keepers. Absolutely. Plan on keeping her around. Valeria says, I would like to know who is the most interesting person you've ever interviewed or interacted with for Truth and Justice or True Crime Binge. And who was the most annoying? I'm not going to tell you who the most annoying was. And no names pop right into my head, but I'll say this. So the most annoying ones are the people that I can't get to talk, and it becomes very awkward. You guys have listened to a lot kind of my interview style. I try to, you know, ask questions that let people really expand. So, cause the audience is tuning in cause they want to hear from them, and you get people that are just don't want to talk. And it's very, very, very difficult. Most interesting. I mean, at the top of my mind right now is Alex Campbell. That's who is the guy from Murder 101. It was just a few weeks ago. I mean, I found that as an educator and as an investigator and podcast, like I found that whole thing so fascinating. And I've talked to Alex. As a matter of fact, Alex is on I have an advisory board meeting next week for our upcoming class. And based on my discussion with him, we created the investigative journalism class we're going to be teaching next year. He's going to be on the advisory board for that. But really probably the most fascinating person, an interesting person that I've spoken to many times is Jim Clemente. He's the way his brain works just never ceases to amaze me. And real quick, whether we're talking on the podcast or we're just talking on the phone, Jim is always, always the most interesting person I've talked about. Taylor. So he asked what my thoughts were on the new Delphi news, which I wasn't aware of it. So I'm in real time here. I'm getting this. It says, quote, earlier this week, the prosecution filed a motion seeking to bar the defense from bringing up its alternative murder theory during jury selection and court proceedings. It's not surprising. That's what happened to in season 12. That's what happened to Robert and Christian in the Pinyon Pines case. Is, you know, the best defense they had, or a good part of it, as it turns out, now that we have all the documents, it turns out that they had a pretty solid defense anyway, had stuff been discovered back then. But the other good defense they had was that they had alternate suspects. If you guys remember back to season 12, and even if these people had nothing to do with the murder, you know, they were convicted because their phones were off and unavailable at the time of the murder. They weren't allowed to point out that the Jacob, Becky's boyfriend that she had just broken up with, his phone was also off. It was unreachable at the time and not connected to any towers at the time of the murder. Like they weren't able to do that. So it's a pretty common prosecution tactic that they don't want, you know, they want to try the case just on the merits of the evidence they have against the person that's guilty. And they don't want them, you know, convincing the jury to look in another direction. I disagree with it wholeheartedly. I hope it doesn't go through. I think I think it's perfectly fair for the jury in any case to be aware that, you know, there are other alternative possibilities, because from the defense side, they're trying to get reasonable doubt. And that oftentimes can create the reasonable doubt. If you can show them in a convincing way that, look, here's another theory, and this is a very likely scenario as to what happened, then at that point, you know, they have to consider that if they think that's a possibility, then that means they have to think that there's a possibility that the people that are the defendants are not guilty. So I will see how that shakes out. Tony was asking, the tickets for the Warsaw show say 8:00. Looks like your message got cut off, Tony. And this will air the day after the Warsaw show. But if you're still here live, the show starts at 8:00, and I don't know what the rest of your question was going to be. All right, let's keep buzzing through these. Oh, he was asking, are Zach and I opening at 8 or earlier? Yeah. So the show starts at 8, and there's a host, and then Zach is the opener, And then I'm doing the next spot after him. And then there'll be a feature right after that. And then the headliner. So the whole show starts at 8. So like Zach will probably go on 8:15-ish. I'll probably go on 8:30-ish. And then so on and so forth. When am I coming to Australia? Sandra asks. I've always wanted to go to Australia. That's a real long, real expensive trip. And as I mentioned, 4 kids, 2 of them in college, probably not happening anytime soon, but, hopefully someday. Jen wants to know, what brand of meat sticks did you overpay for in the winter? That was First Form, which is the app that we use to track our macros. They also sell protein bars, which, by the way, best protein bars on the planet. The chocolate peanut butter pretzel First Form protein bars they taste like a candy bar. They're the best. And they also have some great meat sticks. They were First Form meat sticks. And I didn't overpay for the meat sticks. What I did was when I bought $300 worth of stuff just at a regular register at a place that also happens to be an ice cream shop where you might tip someone, I swiped my card and it popped up and it said, you know, how much of a tip do you want to leave? And just out of habit, I just hit 20% as a tip, like I was tipping a waitress. But literally, I just carried the stuff to the counter and she rang it up. And then I tipped her $60 for my meat sticks. So that was on me. But luckily, it was right before Christmas, so we called it Christmas prize. Getting back to when I was talking about how I raise my kids, Christy said exactly how we raised ours. They turned out to be pretty good young adults. I'm proud of them. Me too, Christy. And that's, like I said, you know, I have other parents in my, that, you know, I know that have kids our age that just have thought that we're crazy by having that open discussion with our kids. You know, essentially if my kids are going out on a Friday night, the conversation goes something like this. I'm like, okay, you need to be safe. Don't be stupid. I don't want you drinking. If you get into a situation where you have been and you're in a bind, you call me. Do not get behind the wheel of a car. A lot of that for me comes too. Remember, I was a fireman for a long time. I dug a lot of dead kids out of cars. And I've shared those stories with them too when they first started driving. You know, so far, 3 kids have been a knock on wood. But, you know, none of my kids have ever had an accident or even a ticket so far. Not to say that can't happen. It happened to anybody. That's why they call them accidents. I almost feel like I wish I hadn't said that because I'm knocking on wood again. But I beat into them when they got their license. I went through stories and situations of kids that were in accidents that I had to deal with, kids that I knew, kids that had accidents that I had to work to, because I feel like kids these days, how old am I? They kind of feel like they're invincible and it can't happen to them. So I just made sure that my kids know that it certainly can. It can happen to anybody. All right. Buzzing through here. Amy says, my goal as a parent was to create a well-adjusted adult who I might actually want to hang out with when they're adults. My son will be 21 on the 22nd. He's a great adult. Me too, Amy. I feel the exact same way. I love hanging out. Matter of fact, tonight at the comedy show I'm going to, both of my, you know, Quentin and Bella are both going to watch me do comedy tonight because we're all, you know, they actually don't mind hanging out with dad sometimes. But it's exactly right. I tell my kids, especially once I got into high school, my constant line to them was when they would get mad about something that I was doing was, listen, it's not my job, the way I see it, to teach you how to be a good kid. You've already been a kid. My job is over the next 4 years to teach you how to be a good adult. So I might have been a little hard on them about some stuff, but that was, you know, again, I let my kids face consequences unless I feel like it's really, you know, really something that's dangerous. Grayson says, what would you do when and if you retire from podcasting? Man, I don't know. I think about that stuff a lot. I don't know how I retire from podcasting. I mean, truthfully, the podcasting part of it, my favorite part of actually podcasting is Tuesday nights when I just get to like have it like live chats with Zach and Janet and all of you guys. Like if I could do like a show like that, I would do it forever. With Truth and Justice, the thing that I love that I could never let go of is the investigation and the work we're doing. Like the fact that we're like impacting real people's lives, whether that be the people that are in prison that we're trying to help, or even you guys, the audience, that you're a part of that, like that's so meaningful to me. I don't know if I could let it go. You know, so for me, like, I always thought, like, retirement looks like, okay, you know, retirement equals I don't need a paycheck every week anymore, right? It would be me taking a year to work and investigate a case, and then coming out and then really packaging a nice tight season. You know, something more like what Serial does. You know, these big production houses, they have all the funding and stuff that can take a year to build a podcast and then put it out. Because that's sometimes what's frustrating for me is I want every episode to be an episode that has a great sound design and great storytelling and great writing. But doing it in real time is just so hard. And that's a lot of the reason why I'm hiring, I talked about for the last couple of weeks, I'm hiring Erica to help do some of that stuff because she has a good eye for that. She's a great writer. So I'm hoping by bringing her on board and having that extra help that I can get to where I can do that. So like when you guys, if I'm just like, hey, this week you got an interview, listen to it. A big part of that is I want you guys to hear the full interview for those of you that are helping investigate the case. But also sometimes it's just like, I don't have the time because I'm especially when we get deep into a case and I'm working 15 different angles and I'm traveling to interview people, I'm doing stuff, then to also then stop and try to write this whole episode telling you the story of what was in an interview. Sometimes I'm so jammed up. It's like, well, instead, why don't you just listen to the interview? Because as much as I say, this is not about entertainment and it's not, I do want the episodes to be entertaining. I want them to be easy to listen to. I want you guys to be excited about listening to them. So that's probably what retirement would look like for me, is to kick back and really dig into a case and do the investigative piece and do all the artistic piece of it and write and produce some great episodes and put those out as a season. Trying to see how much of this chat is just you guys chatting with each other. No, well, Valeria says that I'm not allowed to retire from podcasting, right? Oh, good. We're almost to the end, which is about time to wrap this up anyway. Sarah says, I would love to know your thoughts on the Kohlberg case out of Idaho. It's such a fascinating case. Sarah, I wish, so when that first happened, that was the murders in the dorm building in Idaho at the, I don't remember which campus it was on, because there was two campuses involved. And then like the manhunt for Kohlberg and, you know, how he'd left and how they found him. I found it fascinating too. I watched a little bit, I think, I want to say it was a 2020 or a Dateline or something about it where I watched, tried to get a little more. I don't have any strong opinions about it. I mean, he hasn't been tried, so we don't know. We don't know if he's guilty or if he's innocent. So there's a lot more information to come out. The whole idea about it, it's always fascinating to me. Like why, you know, if he's guilty, why do what he did in the way that he did it? But you'll get my thoughts on it more, because that is one of those cases that I do find very interesting on the surface. And those are usually ones going all the way back to the beginning questions. Like, those are the types of cases where if somebody put together like a really good podcast on it, that I would go and listen to because I want to learn more about the case. All right, we're about to wrap things up. Erica wants to know, am I getting more pheasants? Maybe. So I actually just a few minutes before I started the stream, got an email from the company I had bought the pheasants from, and they were checking in, and I had kind of told them what had happened there. For those of you that don't know, we had a baby pheasant. Long story short, baby pheasants need heat. They have all these heat lamps and all this stuff. We ended up having a power outage on a 32-degree night, and it wasn't great for the pheasants. They actually just offered to send me 200 more chicks next week. So possibly, I have to see. So the barn where all that happens is also where Bella's graduation party is going to be. So I got to check the timing, because they got, you know, so many weeks before I can release the pheasants into the wild, and I can't have a bunch of stinky 200 stinky birds running around the barn during a graduation party. So I'm going to see if that can work out. Oh, I'm not. I thought I was caught up on questions, but I'm not. Tony says he loves Conan O'Brien, needs a friend. Me, dude, that's my absolute favorite. That show, really. If anybody likes like funny talk shows, that one is 100% worth checking out. They're great. Besides the guests they have every week, you also have like the relationship between Conan and his assistant Sona, and Matt that's on the show too, like them interacting together is just makes my day. They feel like they're my best friends. Amy says, how has this kind of work impacted you personally? Having listened from the beginning, I know it's changed the way you think about the justice system, but has it impacted you in other ways? Man, Amy, a lot of this, so that's a broad question. Like, how has doing this work affected me? There's several angles, pieces of that. So like, as far as the work, as far as like investigating the murders and investigating the judicial system, it did change, but it's given me a much better understanding of the legal system, how it works, what works and where the flaws are at. But I mean, that hasn't changed me personally all that much. Cause I've always just kind of, you know, for those who don't know my history, you know, I originally went to college on an Air Force ROTC scholarship. My plan was to go be a pararescueman in the Air Force, and I wanted to help people. That didn't work out. And then I became a fireman because I wanted to help people, and I was teaching because I, you know, and so like, this was like that nice, the space where I can do something where I feel like I'm impacting people's lives. So it's always been part of my life. It's just a different way to do it. But as far as being a podcaster, how has that changed me? It's changed me a lot. It has changed me a lot dealing with people, with internet people. With social media, it's changed the way I look at social media. It's changed the way I interact with people. I mean, my interactions with people online because of the podcast has literally tightened down my friend group in real life, because it gets so ugly and so dark sometimes. And, you know, it's so hard for people to, I mean, I think you understand it, but until you, like, I was literally just having this conversation with my cousin the other day about a different content creator that he literally has a problem with this guy the same way that people have a problem with me. And it's somebody that I respect a lot. But it's every time he says something, my cousin will say like, oh, it's such confirmation bias and this and that. And I can tell you, there's nothing more infuriating than getting up every day and doing a job because you genuinely want to help people and being so careful about every word choice you have and everything you say, because you want to make sure that you're honest. And when you make mistakes, you own them, and that you're being as unbiased and as neutral as you can and objective. And then to have somebody just blow that off with just by saying something like you're biased, rather than like arguing, they don't argue the facts, they argue the person, all this ad hominem stuff. Like that stuff, like it wears on me. And I think I said this a while back too. Some of that was wearing on Mike, and Mike didn't have to deal with it too much, but he had to be on the social media for stuff. That part has been a little exhausting, and it's made me, like, you know, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, that as we move on with the podcast, I really want to be able to put together really good, tight seasons where we do great work and hopefully get some exoneration stuff out. But then in between, kind of do some of the stuff like we're doing now, like interviews, and let me breathe. Cause for 7 years, we just go. Like you would hear, if you guys remember, you'd hear the last episode of season 6, and the next week, the first episode of season 7 started. And it's just go. So the stressors and the deadlines and all of the social media stuff, the troll population builds with every season. That stuff has changed me, and it hasn't made me push away people in real life, but so to speak. But what it's done is make me really focus in on the positive things in my life, the positive people in my life, and kind of cling on to them. Oh, I got to wrap this up, but I'm trying to get through some of these questions. Chris says, curious if you could go back to day one of being a podcaster with Serial Dynasty, Truth and Justice, would you do anything differently with this whole crazy journey up until now? Try not to think about that, Chris, because then I'll stress over the fact that why didn't I? The thing is, this whole thing happened by accident, right? So when I started Serial Dynasty, I didn't want to be a professional podcaster. I didn't want to be a documentarian. I didn't want to do any of this stuff. I was just like, wanted to talk about that case. And then it like snowballed to the point where like, it would have been different if I decided I want to sit down and I want to take a stab at being a professional podcaster. I would have definitely done things differently. But in this case, it was like, here's a fun thing I'm doing. It's just a hobby. And it was like, next thing I know, like I'm fucking in it. And I was right in the middle of it, and there's people waiting for an episode every week. So I never really got the opportunity to step back and make a plan. I've had to like adjust on the fly all the time. Kathy wants to know if I ever got Dax Shepard's armchair expert. I have watched or listened to some of Dax's show. My wife was just telling me that he just recently had on somebody who's like a diagnosed sociopath. She said it was a fascinating interview. Like, this person is a sociopath and they're aware of it, and they're like talking about like what life is like for them. So that's on my list to listen to. That's on Dax Shepard's show. All right, I'm gonna buzz through these real quick before we wrap things up. Colin wants to know how Mike's doing. Mike's doing great. Last to talk to him, it's been a couple weeks since we chatted, but we do take time to chat pretty often. You know, because of all the social media stuff and stuff that was kind of overwhelming too. Like, him and his wife, they live out in the country. They run their little dog kennel. It sounds like business is booming. Business is great. And Mike gets to, as he says, feed the dog, shovel the shit, deal with the customers. That's his day every day. And he seems to be really enjoying it. Good God, I'm so far behind. Okay, I'm gonna jump to Sandra said, tell Becky I said hi. She's always so diligent with replying on the likes I give her on Instagram, even though I don't expect and even have time for all that. Appreciate it. I will definitely pass that along to her, Sandra. Sarah says she's looking forward to the Kohlberg trial so she can hear the evidence. And Simone just figured out the chat, right? At the it's 6:29, 1 hour in, you figured it out. Great. Well, I'm glad you were able to join the chat, Simone. Unfortunately, for all of you, Liz, look like we got through the questions in the chat, at least what I have time to answer right now. Tiffany did say, speaking of Robert and Christian, any updates there? Not right now, because they are right now in the process of filing their state habeas, which is the big one. That's the one we're waiting for. That's where we're going to see if they, you know, if the cell phone data stuff comes up, if we're going to get DNA testing, all that stuff. All that stuff is in the works right now. I believe it's going to be, they'll be filed by the fall. So right now, everything is just kind of hush hush on that until those habeas stuff gets filed. All right. Last one. Danielle says, not sure why they just popped my head, but I think I remember you saying you had a friend who lived in Adrian, Michigan. Do they still live around here and are you still friends with them? Actually, that is the aforementioned cousin that I was just talking about. The one that I was arguing with the other day about calling people bias, who's, you know, he's my cousin and he's probably one of my closest friends as a cousin. We hang out. He was here. He plays poker with me once a week, me and my dad and some friends. He doesn't live there anymore. He lives in Sturgis now, but he was there for a long time. All right. With that, hopefully for those of you guys, looks like the number in the chat has stayed pretty consistent, so we haven't run anybody out of here. If you're listening to this on audio, you're either welcome or I'm sorry that that's what you had for this week, but don't say I didn't warn you that that's all this was for this week. But thank you guys so much. And again, as always, there are, I hope that you guys all recognize, and I know that most of you do, that me and Zach and Janet, you know, we're like real people with real families and real lives and real stuff to go. And just sometimes it's just impossible to get done everything we want to do. And you guys have always been so gracious when we've had to say, hey, we got to take a week off, or in this case, just do a silly AMA episode just to make sure that we have something in the feed for you this week. So I always appreciate all the grace that you guys give us and your support. And of course, I want to thank so much to all of you patrons out there. I mean, that literally, I can't stress this enough, that your donations through Patreon are literally what's keeping the lights on right now. The way things are going just general in the podcast industry, I can say that we were talking about me retiring earlier. If we didn't have our Patreon going right now, I don't know if I'd be able to continue doing the work that I'm doing. As much as I love it, you know, I have a family. I have to have a paycheck, and this is what keeps us afloat and is paying the bills and is paying for those FOIA requests, and equipment and stuff that we need and paying salaries and insurances and all that stuff. So I just want to thank our patrons so much for, and again, thank you to all of you. Just listening is enough. If that's, so don't think that I'm not appreciative for all of you that are listening. I just want to give an extra special big thanks for, to our patrons who are helping keep things alive and keeping the fight going. And with that, I see all the love in the chat. I love you all. Love you all that are listening. And we'll talk to you next week. I'm not sure what we're going to do for the follow-up, but we're going to do something. Talk to you then. Bye, guys. We'll be right back. Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production. All music for the show is created and composed by Shane Yoder at PutThemInASong.com. The font you see on all of our logos and banners were created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. Katie Ross of CreatedInTandem.com designed, created, manages, and maintains our website, Truth and Justice Pod, where you can view all photos and documents discussed in every episode. Thank you to our volunteer transcription team, Pamela Westby, Kathy McElhaney, Courtney Wimberly, Erica Cantor, Melissa Cardenas, Kay Woodyomnik, and Danielle Rohr. And as always, thank you to all of you for your engagement and your support. If you like the show and you want to support us, you can do that in a number of ways. The number one way for you to support our work is to become a patron at patreon.com/truthandjustice. If you join our Patreon, not only will you be financially supporting our work, but you'll also get something for your pledge. For just $5 per month, you'll get all episodes ad-free and also a video version of the Friday follow-ups that include an hour-long pre-show chat exclusive to our patrons. Other levels will get you a Truth and Justice Army t-shirt, Truth and Justice hats, and even the opportunity to co-host a Friday follow-up episode. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. You can also help us out by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It doesn't cost you a penny, and it goes a long way towards making the show more visible. If you have a case that you'd like us to consider covering, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. And the most important thing that you can do is engage in our investigations. You can keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page, follow us on Instagram, or join in on the conversation on the Truth and Justice Podcast fans page. For all of you tweeters out there, you can connect with us on Twitter @TruthJusticePod, and I can be found on social media @BobRuffTruth. However you do it, stay engaged, stay in touch. But as for now, I'm signing off. I'm Bob Ruff, and this has been Truth and Justice.